Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we'll talk Obi-Wan. We'll talk Stranger Things. We'll talk anything and everything. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Anything and everything all at once is what we're going to talk about.
That's basically like the subtitle for this podcast. It's just anything and everything.
All at once.
Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon, and welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, the show that talks about any and everything with your hosts, Brandon and Travis. We started from humble beginnings. We started from a podcast where we talked about technology, and we've moved on to talk about movies, video games, and 3D printing and more.
So much 3D printing.
So if you are interested in any of those things, well, good luck. We are going to talk about something at some point in time, and you might be interested in it. And there's one way that you can give us feedback on how we're doing. You can go over to our social media. Travis, I know we got some social media stuff. I know we got our Twitter.
We're on Twitter at Apathusiast. He's at Barnyard Cruise, much more active than me. I'm Jugglemino. I every time I hop on Twitter, I'm like, I should be here more. And then I'm on Twitter for 5 minutes and I'm like, no, I'm good. Anyway, you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow or send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We are over on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm, or on the web, apatheticenthusiasm.com. That's our website. You can find this show. You can find all of our podcasts, Interdimensional RSS, Twilight Zone podcast, submit for your approval. Can you find Rounding the Bee over there? Is it available?
It's still on there. It's as active as submitting for
Dig
your approval.
Dig into the archives over at apatheticenthusiasm.com. We're streaming live. We're live right now. You can see our faces. You can interact. Be part of the show every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Or if you're busy, you have Pilates class on Monday night, that's fine. You can catch the video versions of every episode at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Those videos over there. Finally, a big thank you to all of our patrons over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You help keep the lights on. You help keep the ring light on my face
so to speak.
I have better lighting than Brandon, who's still working out the studio setup. He'll get there.
I have all my tripods and I have all the things that I could do for lighting, and I just don't do them. Right now, actually, what I was doing before we started recording was I was taking these sound little squares, right, that are up here. And I've got my window open with the natural lighting, right? But I'm talking at the window. And if I have the blinds down, that's great for sound, because then it's gonna stop that first reflection of bouncing right
muffle
back
it.
At me.
Muffle it.
But when I have the blinds up, then my voice is like bow, 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 right back into the room. I was putting those squares up in the window. But what it's end, but the thing is it screws up my lighting. I don't know. Maybe one day, maybe you and I will just sit down.
Yeah, we'll spend an afternoon, have a couple of drinks. We pull out the old paints and fix the lighting in your studio.
Good idea.
It's passable. It's passable for the number of viewers that this video is going to get. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
Unless you go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And let us know how it's lighting. You're just gonna mess with
Zoom. Which one? Is that one's better? That one's better.
It's good. It's all good.
That one or that one?
Feels good.
That one. There we go.
Tony.
Damn it. Every time. Okay. Whatever.
Well, for those of you that are hanging out with us, sorry to interrupt your holiday barbecues or whatever you might be doing today. Say hi. Drop a note in the chat. Let us know that you're here. If nobody says anything, then hope you're enjoying your day off.
Yeah, for sure.
But we have so much to discuss. It has been a busy weekend in nerd culture, be that TV shows, streaming service type shows, movies, all sorts of things. A couple of things that I'm quite confident we won't get to in this episode is the new Bob's Burgers movie.
No, you're right.
Neither of us went out to see, but I'm hearing really great things about it.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah,
only in the sense that I haven't heard nothing about it. yeah. Which, I mean, that's a good thing, right? It has to be a good thing.
No news is good news, as they say.
That's bright.
So yeah. Also, Top Gun Maverick. Did you get out to see Maverick yet?
I have not. I thought about seeing it today, as a matter of fact, and then I didn't. I was doing a bunch of other stuff like painting and video games. I was playing Rogue Legacy 2, trying to get through that. And then I went to the store, grilled some hot dogs for Memorial Day.
Whoa, I grilled hot dogs for Memorial Day.
No,
that's weird
way.
That we did not talk about that, but it definitely happened.
Oh, that's crazy to me. What kind of hot dogs did you grill?
Ballpark Franks. They plump when you cook them.
I was going to buy Ballpark, and then Chelsea was like, no, get the Hebrew National. And so I went to go get Hebrew National instead. And Hebrew National comes like they're 8 in a pack and they're very skinny, right? And but there was a thick one that comes just in a 4 in a pack. And so I was like, well, there's 3 of us. One of us will probably eat 2. We'll just get the 4 big ones. And what you're critiquing me too?
No, please continue with your story, Brandon.
You're critiquing me too. Yeah, she wasn't. She's like, why'd you get the 4-pack? I'm like, there's 4 of us, or there's 3 of us, and then one of us will eat an extra one. And we did. That's exactly what happened. Now we don't have an extra pack.
I cracked open a 24-pack of Ballpark Franks, all right? So, mind you, that was not the first time. It's a resealable package. So we were discussing tonight how underrated hot dogs are as a meal option in our family. Mm. I have a variety of palates, variety of food preferences within my family. And the hot dog seems to be something that everyone will eat. Everybody can dress it up however they want. And it's like, it's cheap, but like you throw them on the grill, they're pretty good. Like they, and we're like, why don't we make these more often? Like everybody, we're always like making some Pinterest recipe and like making like crazy ingredients and doing all this stuff. And then it's like, oh, 2 people are actually going to eat this. And then we have to like, you know, microwave nuggets or something.
Yeah.
So we're like, yeah, we should probably. But then immediately after I said that, I was like, oh, we could have brats. And then that takes us right back down a different road of like, oh, someone's not going to eat it. And somebody, yeah. But
yeah, you got to learn how to air fry, man. You got to air fry those nuggies.
No, we've got the air fryers going for sure.
So let me talk to you. Have we talked about air fryers on AE yet?
Welcome to the air fry segment of the podcast. I think we've mentioned air fryers, but we've never done a deep dive.
Yeah.
A deep fry dive into the air fryer. let's discuss air fryers and what we love, what we don't like.
Air fry enthusiasm. So let's talk about air fryers just a little bit. I'm sure we've mentioned it before. We got as a housewarming gift from my parents, they bought us an air fryer. And we didn't want it. It's not something we wanted, actively kind of looking to not have one. They got us one and I'm like, okay, well, let's go ahead and explore
it. That's a little bit of like hipster Brandon, like coming out, like everybody's all hyped on their air fryers. I'm too cool for an air fryer. We're not getting one.
I mean, if it was free, I was good with it. But like at our old house, we didn't have a lot of counter space. And so it was just like, where are we going to put it? Why do we need the extra space for something? And so they got us an air fryer. It's a big one.
Is this a dedicated air fryer? Like that is its sole purpose? Is yes. Air frying?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm with it.
Comes with a big bucket. You take the big bucket out and then you put the big bucket back in.
Like a fry basket.
Yes. 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 But for air frying.
Air frying basket.
we've been using it and it works pretty good. Most people like my parents use it all for like leftovers and to like reheat stuff, or you know, chicken wings or chicken nuggets or whatever. And we got it and we're like, okay, yeah, let's, well, I guess we'll do as they do in air fry land. And so we started making fresh food in there, like pork chops and steak or corn and salmon. We made salmon in there. Like we've done a few different things, broccoli, and it's like, okay, yeah, yeah, it works pretty good. Like the pork chop was nice and tender and like juicy. It was very good. And then I told my parents about it and they're like, oh yeah, we don't make fresh food in it. Yeah. We just, it's all.
No, we just dumped the frozen crap in there and call it good.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah. Oh, all right. No, it works great for this other stuff. You should use it for this other stuff. But the only problem I have with the air fryer, and it's not a big problem, it's just a matter of timing, where it's not good for lots of food for like for lots of people, right? Sure, you have to do it in like batches, and then by the time you're done with the batches, then you're like, okay, well, that batch is cold. Whereas like frying or the oven or whatever, that's good.
Yeah,
but there's only three of us, so it's not too much of an issue.
I've never owned a sole purpose air fryer. All of our air fryer technology has come in a multi-use sort of product. So I think we had something called like a Ninja Foodie or something, where it was a pressure cooker and air fryer and like a little like grilling type device. Like it did like a bunch of different things, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
it had a basket in it so that you could do air frying. But it only worked like okay. Like I was like, eh, all right, I guess this kind of does the job. And I mean, we've made some delicious meals in that device. But then Sheena really wanted another Ninja product that is like this like fold down air fryer. Mm-hmm. And this thing is like, it replaced our toaster. It's like a toaster oven. It's an air fryer. I think you can like bake stuff in it. But as you mentioned, limited counter space. It also like folds up on its side, like, and tucks back against the counter to give you more counter space. So it kind of replaced a bunch of other things that we might need, and combined those into one. And then also like had some space saving capabilities. But that thing has a relatively large cooking space. I think it's like 1 by 1 foot like basket, relatively shallow, but. Well, not 1 foot squared, but like 1 foot by 1 foot by 1 inch, right? Like it's like a shallow basket, but you can put stuff like on it. So you could do like a ton of nuggies or, you know, like a pack of corn dogs.
Sure.
And then slide it in there and get the air circulating around. I will say it works pretty good. Are you spraying things with like oil before you put it in your air fryer?
I don't normally, no.
I feel like this is like the untapped, like the thing that maybe everybody knows about, but I'm not doing it. But I think if you get like a spray bottle or something with a little bit of oil and you just like spritz your food before it goes in the air fryer, that's going to kick your crispiness up to like near deep fried levels, right? Because I feel like with a lot of foods, when I do it in the air fryer, let's say like a French fry, it does a good job of cooking it, but sometimes it's like it's either feels like it's just baked or like it doesn't have the same effect of the crispiness. But one time we like coated, like we just tossed something in oil before putting it in the deep fryer, and it was like game changer. Like it was like, this is like fried. This is like fried food.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it.
It is because it has oil on it, right?
Like I believe it.
But anyway, yeah, I'm all in on the air fryer. Corn dogs in the air fryer, never look back.
Well,
don't go microwaving them, stick in the air fryer.
I think that's why when you have leftover French fries from wherever, it takes the oil that's already on them and then re-crisps it, right? I think that's the benefit of it. Whereas sure. Like the Crisco fries that you get from the freezer section of your local supermarket, it doesn't have that that resident oil. Resident sure. oil.
Sure. Coming soon to PlayStation 5, Resident Oil 6.
Biohazard. But anyway, yeah, it's pretty cool. I dig it. My brother, speaking of things that nobody actually needs, he has, my younger brother.
Your
has,
brother? That's what the thought that comes to mind when you think of your brother, stuff that nobody actually needs.
Well, no, I'm going deeper into that with,
okay.
In the sense that he has a sous vide.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one of those too.
Oh, okay. So, you know,
never use it.
Things that you don't, that nobody needs is a sous vide. He loves it. I've never seen him use it, but my mom and dad say he has, and everything's great, I guess, but it's supposed to marinate faster. It's supposed to cook it. I don't know.
Cook it evenly. Sure. What I lack is a decent container large enough to put the water and whatever else I need. The
bathtub.
Bathtub. Yeah. Oh, I do have a bathtub now. I wonder if I could sous vide in my bathtub. No, I will not. I will not be doing that.
You go in your bathtub and you just like have just plastic things floating all around. Like, no, I'm getting ready for a
plastic bags of meat and asparagus just floating in the tub.
I'm getting ready for a major barbecue this weekend.
Don't worry, we're just sous videing everything over here in the tub. Let me turn on the jets.
No, hey, yeah. don't go in the jacuzzi. That's my sous vide.
Yeah, I mean, we've used it a few times. I mean, you can create a good doneness on a steak and things like that, but then you still gotta pull it out and sear it really well to get kind of that otherwise it just feels like a I wouldn't say mushy isn't the word I want, but it's the word I'm going with.
Yeah, once you have it sous vide all the liquid is on it, it makes it difficult to sear anyways because it's just it's wet.
Well, it's not floating around in the liquid, Brandon.
No, I mean it's the liquid's being infused into the meat, like the marinade and stuff like that, right?
No,
don't you put the meat in the bag with like marinade and
you can't. I guess you can. Yeah, but you want to pull all the air out of it. So if you have some sort of marinade already in there, yeah, I could see that. Like, but that's not the purpose of the sous vide. The purpose of the sous vide is like to create an even like regulated temperature around whatever you're cooking to bring whatever you're cooking up to that exact temperature and then
sure but also to infuse the flavors into the whatever you're cooking, right?
Welcome to Culinary Corner with Travis and Brandon, the podcast where we talk about culinary techniques that we actually have no idea about.
Now, let's talk about our favorite food shows and see who paid attention more. Cloyingly Sweet. That's the one thing
I don't
know.
I've ever heard of that one.
Cloyingly Sweet. Oh, yeah. If you watch Chopped, they said it all the time in the dessert round. They're like, yeah, this, and it's pretty good, but it's cloyingly sweet. That's the thing about desserts is, aren't desserts supposed to be sweet? Not too sweet. They're supposed to be a little.
If you're gonna get all hoity-toity on Chopped, you know, then you're like, oh, a piece of dark chocolate is a fine dessert. And you're like, there's no sugar in this.
It's 90%. Yes, exactly. It's 90% cacao.
Delicious.
Chelsea loves dark chocolate, and she had like some high percent of dark chocolate, and just like, and just she's like, it tastes like chalk. It's too much. that's too dark.
There is a balance. There is a balance, of course.
Yeah, just like the Force, and as we all know about the Force, there was one person that was meant to bring balance to the Force. Anakin Skywalker. He turned into Darth Vader, as you may or may not know. It's a spoiler for
you. Were meant to defeat the Sith, not join them.
That's right. That's right. This week that we had just passed up on May 27th. On Disney Plus, the first two episodes of the Disney Plus show Obi-Wan Kenobi came out.
That's right. The highly anticipated series, limited series. I think we get, what, 6 episodes in this run. Released the same week as Star Wars Celebration out in Anaheim, California. So they premiered the first episode out at Celebration and to a crowd of adoring fans. And then
I'm adoring.
And then even surprised at home viewers by releasing a few hours earlier than advertised. I think it was 9 o'clock on the West Coast.
Yeah.
That you could start streaming. I had the next day off, and so I was like, it's 11. F it. I'm watching Obi-Wan and ended up watching both episodes right when they were released. And I gotta say, it was worth staying up for. I really, really enjoyed these first two episodes. I don't know how spoilery we want to get in this. I don't want to censor ourselves. So if you have not watched this, you probably don't care enough about Star Wars to be bothered by spoilers. But if you are, for some reason, hit pause on this, fire up your Disney Plus machine, go watch a couple episodes, and let's talk about some Obi-Wan, because
I do want to say something just on the spoiler ways. That doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of spoilers in the show so far in these first two episodes. Like
yes and no.
They're spoilers in a sense of like what the show is about.
Yeah,
maybe like there's a misdirect on what you, if you know nothing about the show, like what you think the show is going to be about, and then but that it quickly turns that on its head, like, you know, 20 minutes in that you realize what the show is about.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the main spoiler, honestly.
Yeah, and. Well, and we'll get into that here in a second. What was your anticipation level going into this show? I know we talked a little bit in advance, like you waited until all of Moon Knight had come out before starting that series. Boba Fett, I think you were the same way, where you're kind of like, I'm not really gonna watch it week to week. What got you to stream Obi-Wan day one? As opposed to some of these other series,
I think so. For the Mandalorian, when the Mandalorian came out, that was a day one watch.
Sure.
And then a couple of episodes into Mandalorian, I said I don't care about this show anymore, and then skipped a couple episodes and then watched the finale. And then the second season of Mandalorian, I kind of hit or miss there. Like, I think I caught up on that one after it had been on a couple episodes. Let's see. Moon Knight was one I wasn't interested enough in the character to want to start at day one. Okay. So after I heard that it was decent, I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. And usually that's like, hey, Chelsea, do you want to watch an episode? Yes. Okay. All right. Here we go. So this one was I wasn't necessarily excited or interested in having another Disney Plus Star Wars show because Mandalorian and Boba Fett were. I'm the minority in saying I don't
this
think those
is,
shows
is a
are
safe place. This is a safe place, Brandon.
I don't think those shows are very good. I honestly don't think they're very good at all, and they get a level of. Prestige and not prestige, like praise that I don't
hype.
Yeah, that I don't think they rightfully deserve. Boba Fett was shit.
Boba Fett has gotten a lot of criticism from fans and casual viewers that really didn't feel like it lived up to the hype. Mando season one, I really did enjoy. Season two. Yeah, still pretty good, but I fully understand the criticism that you have, and I've heard this criticism from a lot of people where, like they seem to nerf the character a little bit too much at times, and then there's a lot of just like, oh, go on this random like quest for a thing, and it doesn't really help with like anything else that's going on, but it just kind of. these weird episodic like adventures.
I think for me that the nerfing, the random nerfing is what gets me. Yeah. And there's a little bit about that in Obi-Wan. There's a scene where a character is getting chased through the woods. A child is getting chased through the woods, and there's bounty hunters that are chasing this child, and this child who is very young is like jumps over a tree branch, and the bounty hunter's like, oh crap, I guess I got to go around the tree branch now. So like the shows do stuff like that, that is really silly and takes you out of the moment. We're like, that's what? No. Like if my 10-year-old runs away from me right now, if he gets a head start, I'm going to catch him. It's just going to take longer. Right?
Yeah. Which eventually does happen. I will say that, but I think it was an attempt in, maybe not a successful attempt to try and portray a child who knew those woods, spent a lot of time in those woods, and was able to expertly navigate them in such a way as to buy more time for them to try and get away from these.
And I think that's a fair thing to try to do, but putting a random like tree branch that's coming out of the ground and is just angled in such a way that she goes under it, but the bounty hunter can easily go over it. I'm just saying, bad execution. Anyways,
I will rewatch the scene.
bad execution. Anyways, but so going back to your original question, Obi-Wan comes out. Why do I want to watch this from the start? I watched that first trailer, and whereas the Clone Wars and Rebels wasn't something, I mean, all of that. Clone Wars, all that flonierisms. Yeah, all of that stuff. I'm not super interested in, because Star Wars for me starts with Episode 1 through Episode 3, and then there's a gap in time, and then Episode 4 through Episode 6. The stuff in between is a gap that it doesn't necessarily interest me. Like Rogue One is kind of the exception, right? Because it leads into Episode 4. What Obi-Wan does is it leads into Episode 4 for me still. I think that's why I'm interested in it.
It just takes a longer step ahead of Episode 4, right? Whereas Rogue One, the timeline for that movie is like that movie ends at the start of A New Hope, right? Like mm-hmm. it is right before that movie. Here we're still a good 7 years or so, 6-7 years. How old's Luke supposed to be in A New Hope?
Probably like 18, 19, 17, 16, 15.
Yeah, in that 10, case, you know,
I think he's like 10 years old.
Seven or eight years ahead. Yeah. Which is smack dab in the middle of that gap between Revenge of the Sith and New Hope. So yeah.
That's what gets me is this fills in, whereas Rebels and Clone Wars don't fill in any gaps of leading me into the things I know about Episode 4. Obi-Wan feels like it's leading into what some of the information that we didn't have at the start of Episode 4 that gives greater context to Episode 4. With Obi-Wan's relationship with Luke and Leia and so forth.
Yeah, there's a comic book series that came out several years ago, the newest run of Star Wars comics, and those comics start right at the end of New Hope, right? So they exist kind of between New Hope and
Empire.
Yeah. And it's a time where Luke is still very young in his understanding of the Force, and his time with Obi-Wan was so limited due to his death on the Death Star and everything like that, right? So he's seeking more information. He's trying to find out more information about the Force and things like that before he ends up with Yoda and training with Yoda. And I think it's the fifth comic in that series. Luke goes back to Tatooine and finds one of Obi-Wan's like journals, right? And it's the whole issue is a look at Obi-Wan's life on Tatooine within that gap, right? Between the time he drops off Luke to the time that he kind of picks him up again in episode 4, it talks about that era of his life. And I loved that issue so much because it's an aspect of Obi-Wan that I never really saw much of. And I had never watched Rebels. I don't know what is or isn't in that show in terms of this time period. I understand it exists in that time period. But it's a part of Obi-Wan's life that I was always kind of fascinated with after reading that comic. And so when I heard this series announced, I was like, I'm in. I if this is at all like that issue, I'm hyped for it, right? Mm-hmm. And in the time between the announcement of this series and now, I've spent a lot more time watching the Clone Wars animated series. I've watched a couple of Rebels series, and I'm gonna say it on this podcast. This is the first time saying this publicly. My opinions on the prequels have softened considerably in the last year. I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously, and as movies go, they have their problems. They have their issues.
Yes.
But the story that Lucas was trying to tell, and then the subsequent story and character development through the animated series and some of the stuff that's going on, like it's a period in this saga that I don't know, I'm just way more interested in than I used to be. And so Obi-Wan hits me right at a time when I am very much ready for it. And in these first two episodes, I'm already loving what I'm seeing so far.
Well, the thing about the prequels, and this won't be a prequels podcast because we've had those before. I have always felt that story-wise, if you just and I think I've gone to Wikipedia and I've rehashed myself on the background for the story, just reading the synopsis. I like the story that's trying to tell.
Yeah.
As a summary, okay, this makes sense. Okay. Oh, I see what's happening here. Okay. Yeah. That's cool. That's cool where it's leading. The execution, as I keep saying, I guess that's my word of the podcast, is execution. The execution was lacking for the prequels as a whole. Right.
Sure.
But it was still an interesting story. The recap leading into Obi-Wan, that stuff is interesting, right? Because they're taking the best of all of the relationship between Obi-Wan and Anakin and distilling it into a 2-minute summary.
I want to say it's badass. 4.5 minutes or something, but it is such a great prequel primer. Sheena does not watch the movies. She is not familiar with the lore or backstory of Obi-Wan and Darth, right? Or Anakin. She watched that 4-minute and she's like, okay, I get it. I get how their relationship started, what fell apart, and what we're getting into with this series, which I will say this now and then I won't harp on it too much. This may be the series that gets Sheena to watch some Star Wars. I had it on. She was watching it kind of from the background. Oh, wait, who's that guy? Oh, well, now why? Wait, is that? Well, now what do they do? And I'm like, she is paying attention. She's asking questions.
Oh, shit.
And then she said, I think I would watch this, but I was already on the second episode. So I think we're going to rewatch the first episode.
Okay. All right.
We'll probably rewatch the second episode and be ready for Wednesday when the third episode comes out. I'm not sure, trying to hold my breath, but.
Don't hold it. Don't hold it.
I'm very excited right now. This Is Us ended its historic 6-season run or whatever it is. So she's looking for a new show. Obi-Wan is clearly the answer.
Clearly. It's interesting. Split, which is Chelsea likes Star Wars well enough. We watch all the movies. She's not a fan necessarily, but she'll watch them. She didn't really like the first two episodes of this show. Mostly because the writing felt ham-fisted at times, and And she's like, the writing's kind of bad. And there's a couple times where
Star Wars.
That's true. There was a couple times where a character was about to say something, and then she said the line, and then they said the line. She's like, see, that's how good it is because I can write it. And there, she was also like, we have a bet, a running bet. She may have forgotten about it, but I don't. I haven't forgotten about it, which is, who is the character that's going to be the one to say, help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope? Who is going to be the one that says it in the series? Because I feel like that's going to be something that somebody says sometimes. Right?
Oh,
it's there.
I hope not. And it's a new hope, but it's, I hope not. And,
but it feels
okay,
like it feels like someone's going to say it, right? Because
I don't know. I didn't have that anticipation. I didn't think that. Oh. I don't think they'll be that on the nose with it.
It was close.
Because if they would have done it, they would have already done it with Senator Organa and, yeah, you know, his plea to Obi-Wan. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like it's going to happen, but I'm just throwing it out there. We can have that be a tally here.
Keep
an eye on it. But anyway, so as far as plot goes, now we're in the spoiler of the show. So if you didn't ditch us out a long time ago, or were never with us to begin with, here's where we talk about spoilers, which is, it was kind of assumed, just how the trailer made it out to feel like, that Obi is pulled out of his hiding in order to protect Luke, who is out on that farm and on Tatooine. But it rapidly finds out, we talked about this a little bit earlier with a little person, a little girl running through the woods from bounty hunters, that it's about Leia, and it's about Leia getting kidnapped and Obi-Wan getting pulled from Senator Organa to save her, essentially. And it's all ployed to get him out of hiding, so the Inquisitors, the Sith Inquisitors, can go, you know, capture him for Anakin, Darth Vader. That's the basic plot so far. The coolest thing to me that I don't know if Rebels ever talked about it or whatever, is that Obi-Wan at this point in time doesn't even know that Anakin is still alive in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that's the huge episode 2 reveal, right? Is Third Sister, I believe, is her name from the Inquisitors. She reveals to Obi-Wan that she's not going to kill him. She wants to bring him to Darth Vader because Anakin is still alive. Darth Vader survived and is part of this hunt for the Jedi. So can we give like a huge round of applause to Ewan McGregor for, I don't know. I love the way that he's playing like older Obi-Wan, and the way he is wrestling with the fact that he comes from this powerful, you know, group of, you know, space wizards who brought balance and justice to the galaxy, to the point where he's like cutting up land fish in the desert on a daily basis for pennies a day, and then is completely prevented from being his true self or showing any of his powers or his abilities, to the point of almost like losing them because he has been that disconnected from the Force for so long. I love the way that he's so subtle in some of it, like just a look or a facial expression sometimes tells an awful lot in his portrayal of Obi-Wan.
I was gonna say, like, he does a good job of that. Like, he's found himself, Ewan McGregor, in roles where he is an adult, he is a version of somebody that is no longer what they used to be. So the biggest mirror there is Doctor Sleep, where it is a sequel to The Shining, I don't know if you've seen Dr. Sleep.
No, no.
But it's a sequel to The Shining. He plays an older version of Danny, who isn't really in touch with The Shining anymore. His Shining, The Shining, do you want to get sued? And then he ends up, you know, mentoring a young girl to defeat a greater evil. But he is so good. I do highly recommend that movie, the director's cut specifically. So if you liked Haunting of Hill House or Haunting of Bly Manor or the one with the vampires, Midnight Mass, the guy who directed that directed Dr. Sleep. So highly recommend it for anybody out there.
All right.
Anyway, so he plays that character really well, of the old grizzled, like, not what he once was. And he does a stellar job in this so far.
Yeah.
It's a good actor.
But yeah, I've watched like three episodes of Rebels, so I'm not cut up on Rebels. I know there are Inquisitors in it. I'm aware that is a thing. But yeah, Obi-Wan finding out that Darth is alive. We haven't seen much of Darth in the first two episodes. I think he's in like a back to tank, right? At the end of an episode. So that's Hayden Christensen's big scene in the first third of this series is floating around in some goop. But yeah, I definitely was surprised. And we were kind of unofficially live tweeting to each other, like live texting certain things. And I said early on, I was like, I was not expecting this much Alderaan coverage. Like, wow, like they're really showing what life was like on Alderaan, and we're getting to see young Leia, like what her life was like. And then by the second episode, you're like, wow, this is really just more about her and following an interaction between Obi-Wan and Leia. And it didn't really dawn on me when I was watching it, but I was on Reddit like the day after. And this completely makes sense in terms of like why Leia knew who Obi-Wan was, why she had any connection with him whatsoever. In A New Hope, she says that line, right? Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope. She reaches out to him for help. Why? Why did she know that? Why did she have that information? This series explains why she put her trust in Obi-Wan, why she would send the Death Star plans to him. So yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for where it goes in the next few episodes, and what other interactions will or will not happen between Darth and Obi-Wan. And I don't know. It's
in Reva, the third sister.
Yeah.
Wait, so the series starts with a flashback into Order 66, where all the clone troopers turn on the Jedi, and there's a room where a Jedi is taking the younglings and trying to lead them to safety, and this group of younglings ends up kind of like, what do we do now? But after the Jedi gets killed, and they're like, run. And so what I'm interested to see is how. Obviously, to me, as far as a writing thing, they put that in there for a reason, to be like, there's a theme here as far as like the kids that are sensitive to the Force and what happens to them. We see in the first episode that there is a young Jedi, or, you know, Jedi centric type of person who's on the run, and they eventually get killed, and it affects Obi-Wan at some point in time. We find out that the Inquisitors are Force sensitive, that a lot of them were Jedi or maybe younglings that have turned to the dark side as a matter of, you know, protecting themselves or finding safety or not dying. And so I'm interested to see what thematically that goes from here. And if it turns out that Reva is one of those younglings from the very start of the series.
Yeah. Does this show make you want to watch Rebels at all?
No. It doesn't still.
Because, what about a Rebels synopsis on Wikipedia?
I will. I mean, I've read some synopses of some of the Clone War stuff, some of the Rebels stuff. I know some of the characters, and like some of like the Ahsoka stuff, because Ahsoka has her series coming out. The characters that she's looking for, that lead into other very famous Star Wars extended universe characters, big blue admirals, right?
So,
I'm not super interested in the animated stuff still. This one, again, is a tie to me of like the initial wonder of it's Star Wars again. Yeah.
Like, yes. Yeah. It feels very much like Star Wars to me. Early verdicts, some people saying it's the best Star Wars TV that Disney Plus has put out so far. It's only two episodes right now, so I'm gonna withhold overall judgment, but so far I'm very excited about the centric to the Skywalker saga characters that are involved, and very curious to see where it will continue to go. Huge shout out for and I butcher his name, but Temuera Derek Morrison, the guy that plays Boba Fett, the guy that plays all the clone troopers, right? We get to see a veteran clone trooper in the series, right, where he's like begging for a few credits and his beard's all grown out. Kudos to him for just getting all them roles, right? Like, like just gets cast, way back when in the prequel days, and just riding that, like, it's awesome that they made clones of him and now he's everywhere. That clone aspect is so interesting to me, watching the Clone Wars, because like the relationships and the individual like personalities of some of the clones comes out in Clone Wars, and then the recent series Bad Batch, they also get into that a little bit more. So it's cool to see some of that on screen too, and think about the clones as the clones, and not just like a fill in for stormtroopers or whatever like that. So
yeah, I don't know. In that same scene where he is asking for money, support a veteran of the Clone Wars, and then it immediately cuts to a couple stormtroopers walking. To get that visual indicator that they're different, like,
yes,
those are the clone. Yeah. Now they're stormtroopers. They're different types of yes. Like, these are real people now. Yeah. I like that little dig in there. I'm looking forward to the rest of the show. Hopefully it maintains quality. I think I told you as we're watching it, like, so far this is way like 10 minutes into it, already better than Boba Fett. Yeah. I think they have a bigger budget, and I mean, to have Ewan is probably an indication of that, and Hayden Christensen. I hope they stick the landing, and it leads us to a place that nobody was expecting, but it still feels like a resolution for some of the fans to close out the Skywalker saga, essentially.
Yeah, I'm sure they will continue to draw from that well. Like,
I'm sure.
this new Star Wars thing isn't working out. Go grab a Skywalker character. We'll do a recap, I'm sure, once all six episodes have come out, and let you know our final thoughts. But before we move on from this topic, just what are your thoughts, up or down? Are we going to see Liam Neeson make an appearance in this series?
Oh yeah. Yeah. If we don't see an appearance from Liam Neeson, then they just like botched all the thematic kind of breadcrumbs that they've dropped so far. Yes. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what do you think?
I'm with you 100%. Sheena was like, I wonder if they'll do like Liam Neeson's voice. I'm like, no, they're gonna get on screen Qui-Gon in this. Full on Force Ghost Qui-Gon is going to be in this, because already they've hinted at it with the recap where Yoda said in episode 3, I have more training for you, the ability to reach out to your previous mentor and learn like how to be Force Ghosts and commune from beyond, whatever. He's spoken out to Qui-Gon a couple times in the series so far, So at some point we're going to see, we got to see that connection. Yeah. We got to see that come together. So
yeah, definitely.
That'll be cool to see.
Just last little shout out to Deborah Chow, who's directed the first two episodes. She also directed some of the Mandalorian and some Better Call Saul as well. So, good stuff. Looking forward to, again, talk about it, like looking forward to the rest of the series. Hope it sticks a landing. But let's see. Well, I mean, what else have we been watching? You watched something recently.
Yeah. long holiday weekend. Great time for Netflix to drop 7 episodes of one of the most valuable properties in Netflix's library.
It's only 7 episodes?
Yeah. So Stranger Things, right? 7 episodes is out. I've watched all 7. It was very interesting because Sheena was like, oh, there's only 7 episodes. That feels like a short season. And as soon as you end the 7 episodes, it's like Stranger Things season 4 part 2 coming July, 5th or whatever the date is for it, right? Or July 1st. Maybe that's how they're going to capitalize it, is like, all right, we're going to give you 7 on Memorial Day weekend in order to completely consume that long weekend, and then we'll give you another 4, or however many the weekend of 4th of July, so that you can also spend that entire weekend watching demigorgons and kids with nosebleeds. I'm gonna speak to that for 1 second.
Sure.
Because Ozark just did the exact same thing, and it's really weird, but from like a business and streaming strategy standpoint, makes sense to me. Disney Plus from the get-go has had this strategy, right? We are releasing our big hit shows 1 week at a time. WandaVision, week to week. Every Marvel series, week to week. Oh, you want Mandalorian? You want some Star Wars series? Cool. You're going to get 2 episodes of the premiere of Obi-Wan, and then you're going to come back every Wednesday to get each and every one.
You got me. Oh, you suckered me in. Oh.
And I have never missed a payment on my Disney Plus subscription, right? Like, I have been engaged and paying my fair share into the Disney Plus machine for well over a year, 2 years, however long that the platform's been around now. Netflix has built this. They built binge watching, right? Like they invented the release a whole season on one day and people spend their whole weekend watching it and then come back the next week and be like, oh my gosh, did you watch all 13 hours? It was amazing. I didn't get any sleep. That model, now that there's so many streaming platforms, so much content available, it's great because like we get to like press the dopamine button for like 13 hours straight, but then we're done. And then I'm not necessarily on your platform for another week, month, year, depending on how many series you have that I like really care about.
Yeah.
So when Ozark came out with its last season, they did it in 2 parts, and they had like 7 episodes and then another 5 episodes. And there was like month to 2 month gap between those. Is that due to production delays? Is that due to wanting to be able to hit 2 award seasons periods in the same year? Is it a strategy that Netflix is using to keep people on their platform by breaking up a season between separate months so that, yeah, I got you for March because you're going to get half of Ozark then, but then I'm going to get you in May too because you're going to want to watch the last 4. Oh, and by the way, you're going to get the first 7 episodes of Stranger Things, and if you stick around for 2 more months, you'll get to see what happens to 11 and the gang in the last half of the season. I don't know. That to me, I feel like, is their way of bridging that gap without going full week to week. I don't know if I'm on a limb here.
You know what's interesting to me? Going into Brandon's reading about product management and a continuous discovery. So I'm reading this book by Teresa Torres called Continuous Delivery, and continuous discovery. And I was just read a chapter. It's all about like incremental testing your assumptions and finding out what the customer needs. And like, is this actually what the customer needs, or are you getting false positives and stuff like that? And you want to do quick tests of assumptions. So if your assumption is accurate, if it's a false positive or false negative, then okay, well, let's do some more tests. But you want to do it rapidly. That way you can kind of keep up with the customer and not let them go away to your competitors necessarily, right? And yeah. So I feel like as we're talking about this, Disney has gone the way of, okay, we had this way where Netflix got everybody into binge watching. Now let's see if we can just do week to week and see what happens with our viewership. And they've found like, actually it's maintaining subscribers. Our outcome that we want is for people to maintain their subscription. And they're doing that because we're giving them stuff. And then like towards the end of a series, they're announcing another series that's going to start up shortly after that, which is then another week to week series.
Yeah.
Marvel doing all that type of stuff. Meanwhile, Netflix, who created the binge watching, essentially they came out with original content. They have their Stranger Things. They drop it all at once. And then, oh, now what do we have to keep people there? And the viewers who like Stranger Things aren't necessarily the viewers that like Ozark. I can say that I didn't like Ozark and I didn't need to keep with it. So sure. If I was to subscribe for Stranger Things, I watch it for my 7-day trial. Boom, I'm done. I can drop it. Now I can move on. And so even if their idea with Stranger Things and Ozark is to like split it up, the amount of time that they are waiting to see, to test their assumptions, to test their outcomes, like they're not letting themselves iterate in smaller pieces to see if that's the way they need to keep going for their business to be successful. Like, I don't think just doing half of Stranger Things and be like, all right, yeah, all right, well, Ozark's coming up next, is necessarily testing that right.
I 100% follow what you're saying. I will argue that Netflix as a software company is terrific at continuous delivery, continuous integration. They are updating that site constantly in a manner that is invisible to the customer, right? Like they can update their user interface, their homepage, how you navigate things, how their you know, actual video player interface works. It's all containerized, so they can like, if stuff doesn't work, they can like swap things out on the fly. They have so many customers across the globe, and their ability to continue to keep those customers happy with functional content is outstanding. Now, business and content wise, that is an area where I feel like Netflix grew really fast. And possibly too fast, right? Mm-hmm. Where they grew by having access to a lot of content and being the only streaming game in town, and then slowly losing that content as different studios bought it back so that they could put it on their own streaming services. Mm-hmm. Netflix pivoted and they're like, we're in the content creation game. We are going to build our own original series, Stranger Things, Ozark. I mean, I don't know. They got tons of series that people love, right? But then we're also going to make like feature-length films, and we're going to make blockbuster movies, and we're going to make other series that people are going to love. And we're gonna really get into building that content, and you're going to get it where you're used to seeing things, which is on Netflix, right? Which makes total sense. It's exactly what Disney Plus did only a decade later, right?
Yeah.
The thing about streaming services now is because there are so many of them and Netflix isn't the only game in town, you're really competing for that like one day a month when the customer pays their bill, right? Like is the content, am I, like, when I go to pay the, like, 20 something bucks or whatever it is for Netflix now, because their prices have gone up, you know, over and over again over the years, when I make that payment, do I look back on the last month and think, wow, I really did spend a lot of time on the Netflix app watching whatever they were, like, what did I talk about on Apathetic Enthusiasm this month? Was it a lot of Netflix content, or did we spend the whole time talking about Holy Moly on Hulu and the latest Marvel offering on Disney Plus, right? And if those conversations are happening across, you know, a globe, and people are saying, all right, am I really spending a lot of time watching Netflix, or did I really just pay this month to watch those 7 episodes of Stranger Things? Because I wanted to see what was going on there.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's where the binge model is maybe doing them a disservice, where Disney Plus, heck yes, I'm going to pay that because I'm in the middle of this Marvel series, and I know 2 weeks after that one ends, the Star Wars series is firing up, and then I'm going to get right into Miss Marvel after that, and then boom, right? And I'm going to, I'm just like, it's that slow drip of content. Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to just big chunks and then maybe not a lot.
Let me ask you this, and this is, you don't have the answer, but in your opinion, what is your assumption on what would happen if Netflix for, I don't know, say there was another season of Stranger Things coming out.
Selling Sunset, the reality show where high-priced homes are sold by women with lots of plastic surgery.
let's just say there is a, everybody loves Stranger Things this season, both halves of the season, and they decide, you know what, we said we're only going to do one more season, but we're going to do one more season. This is it, because the fans are clamoring for another season of Stranger Things. And Netflix decides, all right, here's what we're going to do. I know we've been doing the binge model. This last season, we did half and half. For the next season, we're going to strategically release it an episode per week. What do you think that does to Netflix? Do you think it pisses people off? Like, what is it? I mean, in your opinion, what do you think would happen?
I think we are in the midst of a phased approach that would get there. But I think they're going to have to do it slow enough that we don't really notice. And I think it's going to happen not with a major property like a Stranger Things, but it's going to happen first with like a series that a fringe group is really into, or an original series that's brand new, but like there is some hype for because they've got a big name actor or a great writer. It's based on a different property. I don't see them doing it with Stranger Things, but I could see them coming out with a new series and being like, hey, for this new series, we are going to release 2 a week, or we're going to release the first quarter of a season, and then we're going to release, you know, 3 episodes a month for the next 3, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, I think they're going to, and this is purely hypothetical, I have zero information on this, and I've done yeah. zero research or reading.
It's all hypothetical. It's all.
If you've opinion. Made it an hour into Apathetic Enthusiasm, bless you for that. And now we're just, you know, really just kind of shooting out there. But Netflix shares went down for like the first time in like the history of the company or something like that. Like since they were mailing DVDs to people, so I think a change is coming. Mm-hmm. It has to, right? And their original content is probably going to take a cut. They're only going to make the stuff that they, or they're going to take less risks, I think, on some of the original content that they make. And then I think they're really going to have to strategize on how to keep people making that monthly payment. And yeah. if there isn't a steady stream of stuff I want to watch on that platform, the benefit for me continuing to say yes with my paycheck, right? Like it's not there. And so they see the success of Big Blue over at Disney Plus, and they see, I mean, obviously Disney has been in the entertainment industry for like a century, right? Ever. Like they know what they're doing. But they've only been in the streaming game for a short amount of time. And so there was a lot of, you know, frustration when Disney came out and said, we're gonna show our shows one episode a week and you're gonna like it, right? Like,
yeah. And I'll say this about Disney too. Yes, they have the benefit of Star Wars and Marvel shows. They do have that benefit. That is a strength. But my kid tunes in weekly to see if a new episode of Owl House is out on Disney Plus. So there are shows in like Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, right? That just came out. There are things that Disney is doing that kids want to tune into. So yes, they do have Marvel. They do have. And I think, honestly, I think that's the benefit that Disney had was they could test using their major properties that they had under their belt. But as far as like Netflix goes, yes, a change is coming. I have up in front of me talking about like an episode by episode thing that Netflix did, which was Elvira. Elvira series came out for like 6 episodes in October of last year.
Bringing that huge asset that is Elvira, you know, like, but that's what I'm saying, like a niche audience, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Elvira is widely known, but isn't necessarily going to draw the same viewership as a Stranger Things.
Well, and so I want to say this about like Elvira, like I heard that there was going to be a weekly series of Elvira movies that she was presenting, and I was excited about it. And it was on Netflix, so the episodes were. 3 October, 10 October, 17 October, 24, 31 October, right? So weekly new episode, and I watched the announcement, and then I never watched any of the other episodes because Netflix isn't designed that way far as viewer goes. It's not like designed to remind me that there's a new episode of Elvira coming out. And there's so much other content on Netflix. Like we started watching Ash versus Evil Dead on Netflix, that which was on Stars originally, and we're binging that versus watching an event based show on Netflix.
Yeah.
And so it's not designed that way because again, culturally, Netflix is meant to drop everything at once. So they have to come up with a way to get that.
We've been trained as consumers to go to Netflix for certain things. It's typically quality content, now especially original content that you know, tends to be really great, but tends to be consumable rather quickly, and is something that we can get into for a weekend and get out of, you know, unless we're binge watching like seasons of television or something. If you're back when you could watch all of The Office or all of Friends, like New Girl,
Community.
I'm just gonna watch the entire series. They still got Seinfeld, they still got that going for them, so you know, good for them. But week to week wise, stuff that you're seeing on normal like over the air or cable television, you got Hulu for that. I can go back to Hulu every week and see the normal type television that is not quite appointment viewing, but okay, I want to keep up with it week to week. And then original content on Disney Plus, from the get-go, I'm used to watching it week to week. I know I can roll out and watch that, and then I watch my one episode of Boba Fett or of Moon Knight, and then I'm like, oh, what is this other series? Oh, what is this? Oh, they added that movie? Oh, cool. And so then that fills in the gaps between the week and keeps that steady drip of content going on their platform. So
yeah.
So that's our review of Stranger Things season 4.
Yeah. In an alternate reality, you might be watching something completely different.
But in our Upside Down, it's all about streaming properties and consumer models and all that stuff.
That's right.
I will say in a 60-second review, so far Stranger Things season 4 has been good. These kids are getting real old. It's really hard to hide that anymore. When your high school freshmen look like they should be freshmen in college, it's maybe time to move on. much feels like a much darker season, really leaning into the horror aspect. Obviously, Stranger Things has always, you know, been like a horror show, but I feel like it's pushing the limits of what Sheena can handle.
Yeah. It was horror light before, and now it's getting into actual horror.
I'm curious to have you watch it and tell me if my assessment is accurate on that, or if I just I've been so detached from horror movies for so long that it just feels more like horror than it should.
Yeah.
But then it also takes its time. There are aspects of the series or the show where I'm just like, okay, why are we doing this? Like, there's an entire B plot in the show that feels very B. Like, I'm like, how are they going to connect this to an A plot and make it feel cohesive? Because honestly, there's maybe an A, B, and C plot going on.
Mm-hmm.
But like A and B, they've matched up, but this whole C plot is like, it's in a whole nother country, right? Like it's going there. So
it's like the wedding in Sonic 2 that I have bitched about. It's just
to a degree.
Like, why?
It's characters we love that we know, like, and so that tries to carry it, but it feels completely separate from everything else that's going on the show. So anyway, we watched all seven episodes in the last 3 days. It was good enough for me to not be like, nah, let's not keep going. Curious to see what you think about it, and then maybe do our full Stranger Things recap once the series ends.
Okay.
In July or whatever it is.
Before we leave, I do want to say I will watch Stranger Things. It's on there, but we're making our way through Ash vs. Evil Dead. Sure. Our kid, our 10-year-old, we made him watch The Evil Dead, which is the first film that came out in 1981, directed by Sam Raimi. And we watched it last night, which is great because we're in season two of Ash vs. Evil Dead, and there's some callbacks to it. And he's like, oh, hey, this is in the movie last night. I'm like, exactly. And I'm playing that game. He's like, I was like, see, this is one of his special abilities in the game. He's like, oh, yeah, look at that. Aside from that, Stranger Things is cool. I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, and it's a very good movie. I will say it's a very good movie. It is very, there's a lot of stuff happening. I watched it with Chelsea, and there's so much stuff going on. I know you watched Multiverse of Madness. I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once. It is, and it was produced by the Russo brothers, by the way. So, you know, with that Marvel connection, it is so good. Lots of stuff happening in it. My 10-year-old's review of it is there's a lot of weird stuff, but it's still beautiful. That is that movie in a nutshell.
All right.
So yeah. I want you to watch it, and then I want to.
No, know, I want to watch it. I very much do want to watch
on,
it
on AE one of these days, because yeah. I think it is a movie that deserves conversation. Which clearly on Twitter and everyone else, like my buddy Kyle, he's for a long time been like, you need to watch this. Go see it. Go see it. Go see it. Go see it. And I watched it, and he's like, what'd you think? I'm like, yeah, it was good. Yeah. And then I asked, is it because? And because he's Filipino, I was like, is there an aspect of this that is speaks to you more because you're Filipino? He's like, yes, and it's still so good. And I wanted to see if you felt that way too, not being Filipino. I'm like, yeah, completely. Because it's kind of got that cultural slant to it.
I 100% want to watch it. I just haven't outside of like required Marvel attendance, mm-hmm. have not been to a movie theater to see a movie that wasn't produced by Marvel Studios in a while. So
not Top Gun. Don't see Top Gun. It'll be on.
Everybody's saying everything's great about Maverick, but you know, I don't know. I have different thoughts about Top Gun. Anyway, I've heard good things. I've heard good things. I'll see all the movies. Forget having a job and family and kids. Anyway, that's probably going to be our time for this episode. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We got really into Obi-Wan for a while.
Talked about
product, you know, management strategies and things like that. but if you're here and you're hearing this right now, you're the real MVP. Thank you so much for continuing to subscribe, to listen. If you're new to this show and you're just checking it out for the first time, we are so glad that you're here. Please rate, review, wherever it is that you are consuming this content. Let us know that you're enjoying it. And we'll be back probably in a couple of weeks with a new episode of this show. In the meantime, you can check out Interdimensional RSS, our Rick and Morty podcast. If Rick and Morty's not your thing, just thanks for being here. You the best.
You the best. Finger in the air. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for being a part of the audience, the show, making us keep going. Everybody who pokes us in the eye and says, "Hey, why didn't you do another episode?" And we say, "Well, we're going to," and then you slap us in the face, and then you send us just death threats. I've got a garage full of just bags of death threats saying, "Why isn't there another episode? You skipped a week. I want an episode now, mother trucker." And it's written in blood. Another one is like cut out from Cosmo magazines. There's a date of a Cosmo magazine from it was an issue from 1985, which is really, really crazy. It was with the actress from Weird Science. Oh my God, Kelly Brock. I mean, I'm impressed that
which was weird because it was just letters from the magazine, but the fact that you were able to identify that was.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Kelly Brock fan, so
makes sense.
Yeah, anyway. Like everything, a TV guide from 1987. I've got her on the cover of it. So
yeah, yep, good stuff. all right, well, okay. We're gonna jump over to do a few minutes of our Twitch only post show. If you want to be a part of that, make sure you are following us over on twitch.tv/apathetic enthusiasm. And until next time, I'm Travis
and I'm Brandon. Goodbye. Don't send us death threats. Do not. Let me go ahead and I'll let that out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.